VRNI.org.
Major support for Only a Game comes from Bicon Dental Implants. Since 1985, offering discerning patients and dentists options for same-day replacement of missing and compromised teeth. Information online at Bicon.com or at 800-88-BICON.
This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. In Montreal, Toronto, Minnesota, and the Hub, they chase the puck around the rink. It's hockey country, bub. It's likewise in Chicago and New York, Detroit. But hey, they also muck it up in corners down in Tampa Bay. 3-2 winners over the Edmonton Oilers on Thursday night. The Tampa Bay Lightning has made it through the first third of the season with more wins than losses, suggesting that the Lightning may be headed for only the second winning season in the team's 11-year history. From member station WUSF in Tampa, Bobby O'Brien has our report.
Hints of the Lightning's transformation this season from one of the NHL's worst teams into one of its best are apparent in more than the box scores and the standings. They're also evident at the team's crisply run practices. According to head coach John Tortorella, the atmosphere has changed considerably since he arrived 2 years ago as an assistant coach.
It was, in my mind, an absolute comedy club here as far as the area that we're playing in, and it's an area that isn't hockey conducive. And I think some of the players bought into that a little bit, the intensity, the accountability, and just being willing to prepare to play a game just wasn't here.
So Tortorella signed a few veterans, including left winger Dave Anderchuk, currently in his 21st NHL season, to set an example for the team's youngsters. And the coach demands concentration at practice, videotape sessions, and team meetings. And he expects punctuality.
I'm very anal about that as far as on time for meetings. I think all those little things, I can't pinpoint one, but all those little things are things that build a foundation within a player. And it just makes them understand what it is to be a pro. From first day of camp, we ran our camp by the minute, and they had to be at certain stations by the minute for the purpose of them understanding, get there, and don't be a minute late, be a minute early.
But Tortorella says the Lightning's turnaround actually started last season after the Olympic break. Third-year center Brad Richards agrees.
We kind of started going after teams more and playing more offensive and not worrying about making mistakes as much. We got one of the best goalies in the world, so we know if we do make a mistake, 99% of the time he's going to be there to bail us out.
The addition of Russian goalie Nikolai Habibulin in 2001 has allowed Richards and his teammates to play fearlessly. That's an offensive philosophy applauded by Lightning founder and former Bruin great Phil Esposito.
Go for it, entertain, go for it. If you got a great goalie. And if they beat you 4-2, 4-3, 5-4, at least you're going for it. This baloney of defense first, I hate it. The defensive players, you can get them by the dozens. You can't get guys to score goals. And when you have guys like LeCavalier and Richards and Modine and St. Louis and these guys that can score like crazy and they go, let them go.
That approach backfired badly on Tuesday when the Lightning surrendered 3 third-period goals en route to a 4-3 overtime loss against the Maple Leafs in Toronto, Tampa Bay's third straight defeat. Still, Esposito, one of the greatest offensive players in NHL history and the team's current radio analyst, believes the team is headed in the right direction.
The team is pretty well set. They got good goaltending. The defense is adequate. They've got tremendous forwards and guys like LeCavalier just finally coming into his own. We draft him at 17 years old. We put him on the team 17 years old.
That was 2 years after the Lightning's only winning season in 1995-96. Until now, center Vinny LeCavalier has never known NHL success. At age 22, he's cautiously hopeful.
It's a long season. There's always going to be ups and downs, but we're really optimistic about this year, and our goal is to make the playoffs, and we'll do everything. You know, I've been here for 5 years, and I haven't made the playoffs, so it'd be unbelievable just to be in there and, you know, to have a chance of winning the Stanley Cup.
But that's about as far as LeCavalier or any of his teammates will speculate. When asked about Tampa Bay's strong early season, head coach John Tortorella is also guarded.
I don't know if we are on our way. I really don't know that. I think sustaining through an 82-game schedule is a tough thing to do.
And now here is tonight's Vice Liberty starting lineup for your Tampa Bay Lightning.
But the Lightning's quick start is luring fans back into the rink, according to Tampa Tribune sports reporter Eric Erlandson.
And this is a fickle town to begin with. As this team starts to win, the fans will come, and this place is very loud and a very fun place to be around when it's full and just loud and just full of energy. It's great.
The Lightning defeated the Edmonton Oilers Thursday night at home. The team hopes to continue that trend this afternoon when it plays the Bruins in Boston. For Only a Game, I'm Bobby O'Brien in Tampa.
The top college football teams having battered away at each other for months, it's now time to discuss the results of all that battering. Joining me now on the line from his home in Connecticut is Ivan Maisel, who covers football for ESPN and ESPN.com. Ivan, welcome back to Only a Game.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
So, the University of Miami is number one. We said it at the end of last season and the beginning of this season, and we can say it right now. And can we say it after this afternoon's game against Virginia Tech?
I think we'll be able to say that, Bill. You know, Virginia Tech is one of the few teams that has had success against Miami at the Orange Bowl, but they are pretty much a one-dimensional team. They've got a young quarterback that's never been in this sort of situation. I can't explain to you the noise and crudeness of an Orange Bowl crowd, but, Brian Randall, the Virginia Tech quarterback, is going to see things today that he's never seen before.
Worse than places like Ohio State, where they burn the couches and set cars on fire, or just verbally worse?
Well, I think the Miami fans would burn couches during the game if they could. You know, at least the Ohio State fans wait until they're off on High Street.
Ohio State, of course, has already made it to the Fiesta Bowl, the National Championship Bowl this year. Miami should. But after those two, things get pretty muddled in the Bowl Championship Series rankings, don't you think?
They do, and the distinctions are usually difficult to make at this time of year, and this year is no different. You've got a one-loss Georgia team that plays Arkansas this evening in the SEC Championship game. You have a one-loss Iowa team that's been done for 3 weeks, and you've got a two-loss USC team that might be, at this point, playing the best football of anybody.
There are a lot of backroom deals to make sure that certain teams go to certain bowls or at least go to bowls, and it seems that teams without the right connections or without a high national profile, like Iowa, for example, can barely make a BCS bowl, even though that team is number three in the country.
Well, Iowa had the great good fortune of having USC just beat the tar out of Notre Dame last week. I think if Iowa and Notre Dame were considered equal on the field, then Notre Dame would get the nod because it's Notre Dame.
But, and they bring 25,000 people to whatever bowl they go to.
Well, they don't have to travel as far to go to that bowl because Notre Dame fans are everywhere. But Bill, the entire state of Iowa will be empty on January 1st, at least the half that wears black and gold. It's been a while since they've had this sort of this level of success, and they are very proud of their team, and they're going to go they'll go anywhere for them.
I don't want to get into yet another discussion about whether the bowl system or a playoff system is better for the game of college football, but is the BCS working the way it's supposed to work after all these years of tinkering?
It's always going to depend on how the teams play. You know, last year I thought the BCS did an injustice to the University of Oregon, which was second in both polls and had an outstanding year and did not go to the championship game because the computers put a slumping Nebraska team ahead of them. This year, if Miami beats Virginia Tech, the BCS will have worked perfectly because the two undefeated teams will play one another, and in the old system they would not have been able to because Ohio State would have been locked into the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always going to be year to year, and what I just wish they had was some sort of human oversight component to it you know, to where a committee of athletic directors or commissioners could sit down and say, this isn't right. You know, Oregon deserves to play Miami. Let's go make, you know, let's put that game together.
See, now I can imagine a marvelous conversation between the commissioner of college football on the one hand and the computer on the other.
No. Well,
you have overridden me.
Exactly. But, you know, that's how, Bill, that's how they do March Madness. You
right.
Know, they get a committee and they look at the computer formulas and they look at the results and they watch the games and the committee makes the decision. And I don't know why it's considered impossible to apply that to college football.
Finally, one more tradition falls by the wayside as the Fiesta Bowl will allow beer sales at Sun Devil Stadium for the first time. What accounts for the final holdout going the way of Suds?
Well, I mean, what better to have Tostitos with than a good cold beer, Bill? We all know that.
Why did they hold out for so long? How was it that this was the one bowl that didn't serve beer?
Well, you know, the NCAA looks disapprovingly upon beer sales at college events, and some colleges adhere to it, and some bowls have adhered to it because as a courtesy.
There's also a terrific irony in the fact that most of the advertisements during college football games, if they're not for cars, they're for beer.
Absolutely. I mean, certainly in my experience long ago, beer and college football went together hand in hand, or can in hand, I guess.
Ivan Maisel covers college football for ESPN and ESPN.com. Ivan is also a semi-regular here at Only a Game. Ivan, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
There is more to come at Only a Game with Bill Littlefield. Good morning. I'm Dolores Handy. Here in the studio, we're in the midst of WBUR's year-end fundraiser. With me in the studio is Jay Clayton and Bill Littlefield. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Dolores.
Good morning, Dolores. This is WBUR's year-end fundraiser. As you said, it's a listener-supported radio station, and programs like Only a Game depend on the support of fans, listeners like you, to keep the program coming to you every week. So all we ask is for all the information, for all the fun you've had listening to Only a Game this year, give us a call and make the most generous contribution you can this morning at 1-800-909-9287.
And is there more appropriate fundraising, contribution-giving music than college fight songs? Just imagine that Notre Dame fight song in the background, or On Wisconsin, or Fight Harvard Fiercely, whatever you like. But, you know, get the blood flowing, get those juices going, get that phone ringing.
Get that wallet out.
Tell us how much you enjoy Only a Game. Guys like Ivan Maisel, who don't sound the same on Only a Game as they do on their other gigs. You know, we let them relax and have some fun, and we found some great analysts over the years, and people have told us how much they enjoy it. Now it's time for you to call and tell us by making a pledge.
And, you know, if you'd like to hang out with Bill Littlefield at a Boston Celtics game, a guaranteed win, by the way, we can say
absolutely
that this year.
Yes.
Not necessarily in other years.
Worked for the Red Sox.
That's right. then
look what it got them.
Yeah, then make your contribution this
but they
year.
Won those games with
well,
you.
Well, contribute anyway. How's that? 1-800-909-9287. You'll have a chance to go, you and a guest, to a Celtics game with Bill Littlefield if you're your contribution before 8 o'clock this morning.
And we're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Nature Conservancy, using science and partnerships to achieve conservation in Massachusetts and beyond, on the web at nature.org. Volunteers of America, locally helping people make positive life changes through support for late model vehicle donations. Information at voamass.org. And Toyota, featuring the Toyota Prius, the four-door hybrid gas electric powered sedan, available at a New England Toyota dealer during their Toyotathon year-end event. It's 7:20.
I'm Bill Littlefield. Ahead on Only a Game, the week's news commented upon by Charlie Pierce. But first, build it and they will come has been a familiar mantra since the 1989 release of the movie Field of Dreams, and one that naturally conjures visions of baseball. But the slogan has taken on a slightly different meaning for some athletes in Garden Grove, California. Nick Roman of member station KKJZ in Long Beach has this report.
Oculus.
Oh, there's that shoulder into the guy's chin again.
It's Saturday afternoon at the Dojo of Dreams, and five men, extra large size, are taking turns gripping and grabbing one another in a giant ballet. The Dojo is a sumo ring, in this case a disc of clay 18 feet across, carved into the brown stubble grass and adobe of Jim Loehr's backyard in Garden Grove. On Saturdays, Jim, who's 49, and several other sumotori, or practitioners of the art of sumo, meet at the Dojo of Dreams to work out. This is keiko, or sumo practice, and the sumotori, like Jim, are large, middle-aged working men who miss the physical combat they enjoyed as wrestlers or football linemen in their younger days.
If you're strong, if you're determined, if you fear nothing once you step inside the ring, you can be competitive. And that's what appealed to me, is that I finally had a competitive vehicle that I could at least make a good showing in.
Since we're in his backyard, the Dojo part of the Dojo of Dreams belongs to Jim LaWare, but the dream belongs to 62-year-old Harry Dudrow, the organizer of the Southern California Sumo Kyokai, or association. Harry's dream began about 10 years ago with some channel surfing.
Then I stumbled upon a program called Sumo Digest, which came on at 11:30 for a half an hour, 15 days of a basho in Japan, and I got hooked.
There are six honbasho, or official sumo tournaments, in Japan each year, featuring the greats of the sport. But there wasn't much in Southern California for an amateur looking for friendly competition, so Harry Dudrow started his own group. Harry had been a high school football coach for a few years.
I was struck by the similarity between the initial charge of two sumo wrestlers and two football linemen. And they both get down in the stance and they crash into each other. And the techniques are virtually identical.
Okay, a few shikos here. Let's let the man hear the ground thunder.
Harry Dudrow and the other sumotori spread out along the ring's edge and face the center. Each man takes a wide stance and a deep breath. They crouch just a bit, clap their hands together, slap them down hard on their upper thighs, raise one leg high to the side, and smack the bare foot hard onto the clay. Clap, slap, smack, over and over again, says Jim LaWare.
Now what we're doing here symbolically, chasing the evil spirits away from the ring or stomping them into the dirt. It's also a great exercise for strengthening the hips and legs. In the sumo stables of Japan, they will do a couple of hundred of these every day.
For every minute of actual wrestling each Saturday afternoon at the Dojo of Dreams, there are 2 minutes of ritual exercises, stretching and squatting. These men are large, well over 200 pounds, but they're hardly the size of the sumo giants of Japan. Hawaiian-born Aki Bono, sumo's first foreign grand champion, stood 6'8" and weighed more than 500 pounds. The only man at the Dojo of Dreams close to that size isn't even in the ring. Bob Harper, 6'4" and a still mammoth, 375, is a former wrestler turned artist who's sketching the sumotori in pencil. He wants to market a comic book based on sumo.
I have a secret passion for it, but my wife, she kind of controls it.
Well, it's not like you're going to get hurt or anything. This is...
I think she's more embarrassed about me wearing a big diaper than supposed to be getting hurt. I don't think she worries about me getting hurt.
That diaper wrapped around a sumotori's waist and between his legs is called a mawashi, a silken loincloth that doesn't look at all like silk. And sometimes, says Jim LaWare, it isn't.
I've seen examples of old or not so old fire hose being used for this. I mean, you could imagine that stuff, you know, you want it to be strong because you want it to be tied tight because if you lose your mawashi in the course of a match, you lose the match. I mean, aside from your dignity, you lose the match.
But to preserve some dignity during practice, these sumotori wear athletic shorts underneath the mawashi. Still, you have to put the thing on right, so before practice at Jim LaWare's Dojo of Dreams, wrapping the mawashi requires patience and a strong partner.
Squat. And pull it nice and tight.
The mawashi is part of the ritual of sumo, but also the chief weapon for a rikishi, or sumo combatant. Rikishi literally means strong man, and a strong man like 35-year-old James Hernandez, only 5'10", but big as a bear at 305 pounds, can wrap his paws around an opponent's mawashi and lift him up and out of the ring. The move is called shitatanage.
Ready?
Ready, go.
If you've seen sumo, you know a match can be over in an instant with one of the giant wrestlers knocking his opponent down or tossing him or, more likely, shoving him out of the ring. James Hernandez says even in the briefest match, there's still strategy. A powerful grip, a quick step, a shove that gives the winning advantage to one Rikishi.
I had some bouts with some guys that were champs, and I found out the hard way, you know, that quickness has something to do with it. But, you know, once you figure somebody out, they can become your puppet.
But, says Jim LaWare, only for about 10 seconds.
The moment your foot touches down or your knee touches down, whatever, that's it. Match over. And at that point, you back away from each other and you show mutual respect both before and after the match. You bow beforehand, you bow afterwards, because you are, both of you are of the fraternity. You are sumo brothers.
I take the other guy out of the ring.
Okay.
At the end of each Saturday Keiko at the Dojo of Dreams, the Sumotori perform one last ritual. They stand in a line, squat at the waist, and with hands on the hips of the man ahead, they shuffle around the ring.
One, two, three, four. Yoisho! 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 Yoisho!
And with that, the Sumotori become couriers and technical riders and community college security guards again. And the Dojo of Dreams slumbers until the Giants return next week. For Only a Game, I'm Nick Roman in Garden Grove, California.
Okay, spread out, take court, take a cardinal point. Sankyo!
I'm Bill Littlefield. Nick Roman is a veteran of Only a Game. His witty, incisive reports come to you only because you support WBUR. Without contributions from our listeners, Only a Game would go the way of the XFL. So if you appreciate the strong reporting and storytelling that you hear on Only a Game and on WBUR's other programs, please call with your pledge. Here's how you can do that.
The number to call is 1-800-909-9287, or you can pledge online at WBUR.org. Good morning. I'm Dolores Handy, and I'm here in the studio with Bill Littlefield and with Jay Clayton as we continue our year-end fundraiser, an opportunity for you to pay for what you consider important in your life to help make sure that it's here. Call us at 1-800-909-9287 to support Only a Game, the weekly one-hour radio sports program that appeals to sports fans who get it, that sports is more than just scores and stats.
We should make it a point.
I want to say
Dolores,
Bill's exceptional writing and wonderful personality, all of those things
thank
are part
you very
of it.
Much. I think it's very important, however, to establish at this point after that sumo piece that contributing to Only a Game and to WBUR, WRNI is not nearly as difficult as sumo. There's no grunting required. It's really easy.
Nobody has to wear
Mawashi. You punch in the number, a delightful person puts down his or her coffee cake and takes your pledge, and it takes only seconds, and it's done, and then we'll get back to the program, and you can hear some more great stories.
Not very difficult at all, but very essential, because listener support, like your contribution that we hope you'll make right at this moment, is what pays the largest share of the cost for Only a Game so that you can enjoy it and be informed and entertained every Saturday morning. So go to the phone and support that now with a $60, maybe $120 contribution. The number is 1-800-909-9287. And by doing that before 8 o'clock this morning, your name will be included in the hat, and we will draw one winner, and you and a guest, if you're the winner, will be able to go to the Celtics with Bill Littlefield. So some fun, some contributions for Only a Game to help pay for it and keep it going. That's all we're asking for this morning.
Jay, I listened carefully that time. I understand this is me volunteering to be a third wheel.
Well,
two people will come who know each other,
yeah, but
they'll send me for popcorn and hot dogs, and
they'll probably
be
make
my
you,
function at the game.
They'll probably make you pay for it too, Bill.
Hey, no problem. So in addition to the Celtics win, we are guaranteeing that I will shuttle back and forth to the concession stand.
And you'll get the car washed while they're watching the game.
Whatever
right?
they need. Absolutely. Yeah. Need your registration renewed? I'll
sure.
take care of that.
Nope.
People love it. The phones are ringing right now. An opportunity to have Bill as your, what would you say, butler for the game? For the you
oh,
know,
this is
get
getting
out.
Better and better.
Well, you should really call before 8 o'clock, too, because that's the deadline to make the contribution. And the Celtics have got a good team this year. I mean, they've got Russell. They've got Cousy.
Absolutely.
Havlicek. I mean, they're probably going to win this game.
You know, only a game goes beyond the scores and the stats. To get a real feel for the world of sports and the people who play the games, you hear about sports that you're interested in, but that you don't get a lot of attention elsewhere, like the sumo spot, for instance.
Sumo spot. And we chased with the sumo spot. We chased the evil spirits out of the ring. It remains to be seen whether we ushered the generous spirits into the telephones that I don't hear them ringing all that much. And I don't want people in there just eating coffee cake and drinking coffee. They should be taking these calls and pledges.
Call us at 1-800-909-9287. Get the phones going.
1-800-909-9287 is the number. You're always entertained when you listen to Only a Game. You're informed. You hear sports stories that are of interest, that are the same caliber of storytelling that you hear on all the other great national public radio programs that you listen to throughout the week. And the way that they're here for you is through listener support. So all we ask is that you make the most generous contribution that you can, maybe $60, maybe $120 right now. That's just $5 or $10 a month for all that you get throughout the year from Only a Game and all the other programs that you listen to. So call 1-800-909-9287.
Only a Game is great radio, the kind of radio you cannot find anywhere else in terms of sports coverage. Over the past year, we've had wonderful stories that you wouldn't have found anywhere else. Nick Roman's piece on scooter racing, just as an example. The list goes on.
Find the other sports show that brought you the world champion rock, paper, scissors winner. It's not anywhere else. As far as I know, it was an exclusive. You know, we spanned the globe in order to locate this guy. And we wouldn't have put him on if he wasn't funny, but he was, and so we put him on.
It is the best coverage to wake up to on a Saturday morning. It is so great that even though I hear it here on Saturday mornings, I listen again in the afternoon because it is so wonderful. There is something I might have missed the first time, or I just want to hear it said again. And I know you feel that way about it. This is the kind of sports coverage that you feel good about, that helps you understand more about, may help you understand why that other person in your life is so crazy about sports. So call us with a pledge at 1-800-909-9287. Or you can pledge online at wbur.org.
Some people, of course, have to listen in the afternoon, Dolores, because they can't believe that they've heard what they thought they heard.
I was asleep.
Rock, maybe. Paper, scissors may be a good... Did they really talk about rock, paper, scissors? I haven't played that since I was six. And so, yeah, people get that opportunity to listen again at 2 o'clock, and that's great fun. But we're talking 7 to 8 o'clock today, and we're talking about needing some phone calls and needing some pledges because I'm going to feel like an idiot if I'm sitting at that Celtics game and there are two empty seats beside me. I need to have people call in who want to go see the Celtics win that game, guaranteed win, same as we did with the Red Sox. And Jay, are we getting any calls?
We are getting some calls, but, you know, you've only got until 8 o'clock this morning if you want to have a chance to take yourself and a guest with Bill Littlefield to see the Celtics this year. 1-800-909-9287. And they've assembled quite a good team for themselves. I mean, they've got Larry Bird, Bobby Orr, all kinds
of
guys
playing. Ted Williams, they're all going to be there.
I mean, they've
day.
Got 14 centers. They ought to win this game.
Absolutely.
1-800-909-9287 is the number to call. This isn't a chance that you're going to have every day to be able to attend a Celtics game with Bill Littlefield. So if you'd like to do that, you'd like a chance at that, make your contribution by 8 o'clock this morning and you'll have a chance. You might be the winner of this nice little prize from Only a Game. And most importantly, you'll be supporting the program.
The number to call, 1-800-909-9287. Only a Game with Bill Littlefield. That weekly one-hour radio show that you wait for every week. Let's make sure that Bill Littlefield has the report that he has the opportunity to reach out and bring you the reports that Only a Game has become so famous for. So call with your pledge now, 1-800-909-9287.
I'm Bill Littlefield. Welcome to Sports Appreciation Weekend. We will now preempt WBUR's Saturday morning lineup with wall-to-wall sports coverage, NPR style, of course. Coming up, the story of the Brazilian soccer widow who's been scammed out of her life savings by NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue. But first... Rat! I'll be back. In the meantime, please call with your pledge to support WBUR's well-rounded weekend lineup. Here's how you can do that.
Call us at 1-800-909-9287. Only a Game is where sports are happening, just as Morning Edition and All Things Considered take you where news is happening. The program gives you a sound, rich weekly tour of the world of sports. You make that possible with your pledges. So call us now, 1-800-909-9287.
Points for trying there anyway, Bill.
Hey, I'm not finished. This is a campaign that's ongoing, my friend. You haven't heard the last of this.
I had a hunch. 1-800-909-9287 is the number to call. A $60, $120 contribution is only $5 or $10 a month throughout the year for all of the entertainment, all of the information, all of the stories that surprise you and inform you, stuff you never knew about that you hear on Only a Game every week. And you can count on that, and we count on your contributions to pay for it. So this is the time, this is the day to go to the phone and make the most generous contribution that you can.
Jay, one of the things we really enjoy doing on Only a Game, besides telling the stories of current events, sports events in progress, seasons ongoing, is talking about some of the books in the realm of sports that come out. And those books, people call after every show and email and say, I didn't quite get the title. Can you tell me what it was? It's all on the website now. You can go to the website. You can find out who the author is that we've been talking to in the books. That are available for holiday giving and that sort of thing. If you appreciate that sort of service and you appreciate what you hear and the information we bring you and the entertainment, now's the time to call and let us know about that.
The number to call, 1-800-909-9287.
Or on the web. You can make your contribution there as well at WBUR.org. And do it by 8 o'clock this morning. Whatever you're going to pledge, do it by 8 o'clock so that you have a chance to go to the Celtics, you and a guest, and Bill Littlefield, a Celtics game coming up in this season, 1-800-909-9287. A guaranteed win as well. We did this with the Red Sox. We're going to do it again with the Celtics. In fact, if you went to all the games, it seems to me they'd make the playoffs.
It would be an undefeated season, and that's why we can't go to all the games, because the NBA would be finished. Like all other sports leagues, parity is important to it, and we would destroy the concept.
So call us, 1-800-909-9287. We're supported by you, our listeners, when you call that number. And by Trader Joe's, a unique grocery store where buyers travel the world to find products like French rack of lamb, New York-style cheesecake, and heat-and-serve hors d'oeuvres. More at TraderJoe's.com. Johnson Drugs in Waltham, a health and wellness pharmacy, providing care with personal attention, offering an integration of mainstream and complementary medicine. And the Music Emporium, celebrating the season with more than 200 guitars, banjos, and mandolins for holiday gift-giving. Available in their Lexington showroom, themusicemporium.com.
I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, a reading suggestion for hibernating railbirds. But first, our customary look at the week's sports news with analyst Charlie Pierce. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Bill.
On Thursday, Rune Arledge died at the age of 71. Many have labeled him a pioneer, particularly regarding sports programming. Was he?
Well, I think he's the last of the people who can truly be described as pioneers in broadcasting. This is a guy who invented not only Monday Night Football, but Nightline. So he was responsible for the careers of both Howard Cosell and Ted Koppel. And if you can span an industry as thoroughly as those two people span television, then you've done it. I mean, Rune Arledge was the first one to realize the essential truth of television sports. And the story of sports on television is the story of sports in America in the last 30 years. First rule of sports on television: if you put it on television, somebody will watch it. In the old wide world of sports shows, you had figure eight racing from Islip, New York. You had barrel jumping from Lake Placid. You had cliff diving from Acapulco. You had target diving from Las Vegas. You had the World Lumberjack Championships from Hayward, Wisconsin. How do I remember all this stuff?
I watched
them every year. I used to know, as much about the strategy of barrel jumping as I did the strategy of the National Football League. And that is totally because Rune Arledge decided to put this goofy stuff on TV.
On Sunday, Dave McNally, late a pitcher for the Orioles, died. He was 60 years old. He would be known primarily as a guy who won 20 games in four straight seasons if it weren't for his more significant niche in baseball and in sports history, right?
He was also one of the famous Oriole rotation, which had four 20-game winners in the same season. But yes, his most significant victory, in 1975, it was Dave McNally, along with Andy Messersmith, who filed the grievance that blew up the reserve system and ushered in the new era of free agent baseball and what I believe was a golden age for the sport.
Susie Whaley, who won the opportunity to play in a PGA tournament, the Greater Hartford Open, has decided to take advantage of that opportunity in July. Is this likely to be anything more than a novelty, or is there some significance here?
This will be a novelty. The odds are she's 36 years old. She's going to be playing from the back tees.
That's right.
As would anybody else at the Greater Hartford Open. The odds are that she's going to shoot 90. I would like to tell you, though, that doesn't matter. The fact that she's actually in the field, when her name gets announced on the first tee with the two people she's playing with, that's a big event.
Speaking of golf and gender, Augusta National has lost its first member over the ongoing dispute concerning the club's gender policy. That takes away at least one of Commander Hootie's main arguments for maintaining the status quo, doesn't it?
Well, the person who quit is a former CBS chief executive named Thomas Wyman. The people at American Express and the other corporate chieftains who all belong to Augusta don't need this right now. It's not a great time in history to be a corporate chieftain. You know, you don't have a real high level of public credibility right now.
No.
This is one problem they don't need. And if anybody's going to make this go away before it completely blows up next April when they hold the Masters, it's going to be the guys who pay Commander Hootie's salary.
On the basketball front, the Utah Stars will become the San Antonio Stars, hopefully not the Lady Spurs or something
Spurs.
Like that. Is the Alamo City ready for the WNBA?
Well, the Salt Lake City wasn't. The Alamo City may be. You know, the WNBA and the NBA, which runs the WNBA, has been quite ruthless about franchises that don't cut it. It looks to me like the Stars will have one chance along the Riverwalk in San Antonio, and then the team will disappear.
You've been keeping track of the 7-foot-6-inch Yao Ming's rookie season, Charlie. Is it fair to say of his performance this week, he's only getting better?
It's fair to say of his performance, Yao! 27 points and 18 rebounds against David Robinson and Tim Duncan and the San Antonio Spurs. That's the real deal. And I can also point out that you can buy your shirts, put in the orders for the posters right now. He's already being referred to around the NBA as Chairman Yao.
Of some restoration work on perhaps the most famous golf bunker in the world, the trap beside the 17th green at St. Andrews in Scotland, a past captain of the new club at St. Andrews said, quote, "Tampering with the bunker is going too far and its loss is a tragedy." Is this person referring to a person named Bunker? I mean, why is this qualify as a tragedy?
Because this is the bunker in which top-level PGA players have been known to take a 12 because they can't get the ball straight up and back. I have seen players putt the ball backwards from the lip of this trap to try to hit it out. I really wish they weren't homogenizing St. Andrews in this way. I know they're doing it for their regular players who are often in there till the moon of the cold winds, but just watching guys from the PGA Tour, some of them can't even toss the club out of it. It's too deep. They toss their club with disgust and it sort of bounces back in.
Hits them in the head.
That's my kind of hole.
I have a candidate this week, Charlie, for most remarkable save ever made by a hockey goalie. Tommy Salo is the hero of this tale, I guess, although he says he doesn't know exactly how he did it.
What can I say but pants save and a beauty! A shot went off his sweater, and in the discreet way we write things in Canada, down his trousers, eh? And Coach Craig McTavish told the Edmonton Sun, hey, Tommy really pulled one out of his pants.
Charlie Fierce writes for the Boston Sunday Globe magazine and joins me each week for some good sports talk. Thank you, Charlie.
Pet save and a beauty!
Cool shots. NHL's cool shots. You've got the TV. We've got the hockey. Cool shots! Shots. Are you receiving cool shots? Yes!
Damon Runyon, A.J. Liebling, Jimmy Breslin, and even William Faulkner all have written brilliantly about horses and the track. That being the case, it must have been great fun to build a book subtitled A Collection of Memorable Writing on Thoroughbred Racing. Here to tell me if I'm right about that is the editor of the book, cleverly entitled Finished Lines, from KPBS in San Diego, Frank Scatone. Frank, welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks, Bill.
And we're joined as well by one of the writers represented in the collection, Brendan Boyd. Brendan, it's been a while. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Bill.
It's no surprise that some of the pieces in this collection concern great horses. Secretariat, as discussed by William Knack, Kelso, as celebrated by David Alexander. I suppose that no other animal has been credited with so many admirable human qualities as the thoroughbred racehorse. Frank, am I right?
You're absolutely right. And you mentioned David Alexander writing about Kelso. In the beginning of his book, he mentions several different racehorses. And one of the best quotes that I found while putting together the anthology I use as the epigraph to my book, Finished Lines, "Throughout the years of the thoroughbred, it has been the effect of horses on humans that has been the most remarkable aspect of racing." So not only did the horses themselves have human attributes that we can relate to, but their effect on us emotionally and psychologically is what really motivates people around the sport.
There are tributes to accomplished jockeys as well here. Pete Axelm extols the virtues of a young Steve Cawthon. Damon Runyon is moved to verse when he writes about Earl Sandy. Perhaps you would favor us with a few lines of that piece.
"Say, have they turned the pages back to the past once more? Back to the racin' ages and a derby out of the yore? Say, don't tell me I'm daffy. Ain't that the same old grin? Why, it's that handy guy named Sandy booting a winner in." And of course, that was the opening verse to a story Runyon had written about Gallant Fox's victory in the Kentucky Derby.
Brendan, your entry in Finished Lines comes from a book that you wrote called Racing Days. Tell me a little bit about the appeal of the racetrack to a writer.
There are three great sports to write about: baseball, boxing, and horse racing. I think baseball conjures up something just truly American, an American childhood sort of thing in any writer. And I think boxing and horse racing are evocative for a writer because they're very individual sports, both in terms of the contestants, the individual horse against a group of other horses, or the individual fighter against one fighter, but also because they're so primal. Even more primal than boxing is horse racing, because it involves an animal, and it involves an animal that's been around for thousands and thousands of years, and there's just something so incredibly basic about it.
It seems so simple. You line a bunch of horses up at the starting line, and you give the prize to the one who gets across the finish line first.
Right.
But there are so many complicated elements involved in the sport and in the people who are involved and in the horses and in the breeding and in the training and everything else. It's just an incredibly complicated world.
It also, I think, is the most aesthetically pleasing of all the sports, just because of the beauty of the thoroughbred horse. Also because it takes place outside. You can walk around, get into all sorts of trouble at the racetrack, and get all sorts of bad information from as many people as you want to meet.
I found that I could avoid most of the trouble at the track if I just keep my wallet in my hip pocket, but we won't get into that today. Frank, when you started putting this book together, were you surprised at the amount of really fine writing that has to do with thoroughbreds and the track? Or did you go into this knowing, boy, there's going to be a real treasure trove here and it's just going to be a question of figuring out which makes the cut?
Yeah, I wasn't really surprised at the great writers that had written about the sport. I was, however, surprised at the amount of the off-the-beaten-path stuff that I found from some of the lesser-known literary lights who covered racing. Writers who are known within the racing industry but aren't necessarily known outside of it. Of course, having a William Faulkner as part of the anthology is a great joy to me, but people know about Faulkner. And it was finding the lesser known writers that really help round out the anthology.
There may be folks who buy this book hoping to learn something about winning at the track. Ironically, handicapper and track columnist Andy Beyer, who's had a lot of winning days, writes about losing $1,500.
Yeah, that's an excerpt from Andy's terrific racing memoir slash handicapping primer called my $50,000 year at the races. I think any handicapper would be proud to have a book titled that.
Although it may be dated at this point.
Yeah, exactly. The piece in Finish Lines is about Andy's experience at Great Barrington Fair, which I'm sure Brenda can talk about a little more, being from Massachusetts. But it's basically about how it's more important at these fair circuits to watch the tote board than it really is to be a good handicapper.
Have you ever noticed the only people that you ever hear about who are able to beat the races are relatives or friends of people that you meet? You never actually meet the people.
My uncle did real good.
Yes,
Saratoga.
They
always tell you that their uncle has a great system for beating the races, which he has been so generous as to tell them exactly what it is. Then you ask them, well, why is your uncle's car still up on blocks? It's just one of those apocryphal stories. Everybody knows somebody who's been able to beat the races, but you never actually meet these people in the flesh.
Yeah.
Frank, I have to ask a question that I'm inclined to ask any editor in the position that you're in. Is your desk cluttered with pieces about racing that didn't quite make the cut?
Yeah, absolutely. Not only papers, but stacks and stacks of books. One of the best parts about researching this anthology was getting online and finding used bookstores that specialize in old horse racing books. So I'd have to say that my horse racing library has increased exponentially since I undertook the researching of this book. There's a terrific book called Across the Board by a man named Tony Betts, which is long. Yeah,
the
exactly.
Aptly named
Tony Betts. And that was, that was his real name, by the way.
At least it's not Tony Loses.
And that was it didn't make the anthology, but that was just a long out of print book that just from a newspaper writer who had many wonderful stories about racetrack touts.
Have you a favorite among the pieces that did make it?
I'd have to say that my favorite piece in the book is William Faulkner's Kentucky May Saturday, which is a wonderful piece about the 1955 Kentucky Derby showdown between Swaps and Nashua. But I do want to give specific mention to David Alexander's piece From a Sound of Horses, a long out-of-print racetrack classic that any racing fan should have in his or her library. So if they find it in a used bookstore, I highly recommend buying it because it's a wonderful history of horse racing. But the most important part of the book is the last chapter, which I've excerpted in Finish Lines, about Alexander writing about his favorite racehorse of all time, Kelso.
Mm-hmm. And Brendan, beyond the fun of reading part of Racing Days again between two different covers, have you a favorite among this among the collected works here?
Yeah, I like the Bill Barrich piece because I love the book. I think
Laughing in the Hills.
Yeah, Laughing in the Hills. I think he's probably the best contemporary writer about the racetrack, and I also like the William Murray piece on the Italian Derby. Bill Murray is a great New Yorker writer, great writer in general. Also lives out, I think, lives out in San Diego near you, Frank.
Yeah, we're neighbors.
Yeah, and it gets us beyond the borders of the United States and shows what a great international sport the race is, and Bill's a terrific writer, and it really captures the whole feeling of that nutty Italian Derby that they do every year.
Frank Scatoni is the editor of Finish Lines, published by the Daily Racing Forum Press. Frank, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thanks for having me, Bill. I really enjoyed it.
And Brendan Boyd, author of Racing Days, as well as the terrific novel Blue Ruin. Thank you for joining me, Brendan.
Thank you, Bill.
I'm Bill Littlefield. Charlie Pierce is in his ninth year with Only a Game because we have yet to find a sports analyst as irreverent, passionate, and intelligent as he is. But he's also here because you are, and we have yet to find an audience that appreciates Charlie's attributes as much as you do. Without your support, you wouldn't hear some of the best writers who cover sports. Charlie Pierce, Bud Collins, Helene Elliott, Pat Forty, many others. This is your sports show. So please take the time to call in your pledge. Here's the number to call.
1-800-909-9287. Bill Littlefield, Charlie Pierce and Company. Exceptional writing, wonderful personalities, great sports stories, great news stories in the sports world. You get them on Only a Game. Only a Game comes to you courtesy of you with your call at 1-800-909-9287. Dolores Handy here in the studios with me is Bill Littlefield and Jay Clayton. Good morning again.
Good morning again, Dolores. I've recently become aware of the fact that for a generous but not unreasonable contribution, somebody is going to be able to not only go to a Celtics game with me a little later on this winter, but also wear an Only a Game fleece jacket in case it's actually cold on that night. What could be better? Well, maybe wearing a Morning Edition fleece jacket or a Car Talk fleece jacket, which they can also get. But an Only a Game fleece jacket at the Celtics game, I mean, you know, this is a dream, right?
It is a dream. 1-800-909.
A dream that we can make come true.
That's right.
For you this
That's
morning.
Right. But wait, there's more. 1-800-909-9287 is the number to call. Actually, there isn't any more, but what more do you need? I mean, you got a great sports program. You got a fleece jacket, a black fleece jacket for Only a Game that we'll send you. A limited edition, by the way. So if you'd like one, you should call this morning and pledge the $365 for the year, and we'll thank you with the jacket, and you'll have a chance to win the two tickets to see the Celtics with Bill Littlefield if you call and make your contribution before 8 o'clock this morning. 1-800-909-9287.
Major support for Only a Game comes from Bicon Dental Implants, offering discerning patients a same-day tooth replacement solution for failed root canal treated or missing teeth. Information is available online at Bicon.com or at 800-88-BICON. Thermoelectron, the scientific instruments company with a mission to advance drug discovery, improve manufacturing, and protect people and the environment, on the web at thermo.com. And Nutter McLennan Fish, working to solve critical legal issues on local, national, and international levels. Information at Nutter.com. This is our year-end, fundraiser. WBUR.org is the place you can make your pledge online to keep programs like Only a Game coming your way. Or you can call us at 1-800-909-9287.
There are folks out there ready to take your call, as they say, and they really are ready. They've got hot coffee. They've got Danish. They're ready to put those down and take your call. And it's time. 1-800-909-9287. Just a few minutes left in the program for you to tell us how much you enjoy Only a Game and how much you wish to support it.
1-800-909-9287. I was actually just in the pledge room a little bit ago, and the phones are ringing this morning. We're very grateful for you if you've called. Most of the people calling apparently are giving money, not asking for it back, so that's also nice. 1-800-909-9287. And again, if you'd like to have one of these Only a Game fleece jackets, we will have it to you by